Enjoyed that singing. Now we'll turn our attention to God's Word this evening. Turn to John chapter 10. The book of John chapter 10. Tonight we're going to look at some things that Christ calls those that have followed Him. Some terms that are used, and we're going to look at this is what the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be these things. In John chapter 10, verse 22, we're going to start. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The words that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Here we see the first term the Lord used is the one of the sheep. And he's also calls himself the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And we are very, very familiar, I'm sure, with Psalm 23, where David by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, voiced how he feels that the Lord is his shepherd. And David knew a lot about that. And notice what Jesus said here, ye are not of my sheep because ye believe not. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. The first step of discipleship, being a disciple of Christ, is first becoming a sheep. And you become a sheep by believing on him. This has also been referred to as being his children, his child. We're going to look at child in a little different way here at the close to the end of the message. But first we're going to concentrate on sheep. This is who Jesus wants his children to be, his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow him. The difference in just hearing his voice and hearing the Bible, hearing what his word says, and actually following Jesus. That's the difference between a sheep and something else, because a sheep will actually follow the shepherd's voice, whereas my dog does not follow my voice. But a sheep will follow the shepherd's voice. I think that's what the Lord wants of us. He wants us to follow him like little sheep. Hear his voice and follow him. That's the first thing that the Lord uses, term he uses here, sheep. He often referred to himself as the shepherd. We would do well to understand him as our shepherd and appreciate him as our shepherd. Because I don't know about you, but there are many times that I've wondered what I should do and where I should go. The shepherd wants to help us. The shepherd wants to lead us if we'll follow him, if we'll listen to his voice and follow him. He will lead us in the right way. It's one of the biggest struggles, I think, that we have. I think as teenagers, you know how we have there's a lot of times teenagers are in a lot of trouble and they're getting in, you know, they get it in and out of trouble, and I think part of that is they're just trying to figure out where they're supposed to go. They just don't know. And there's a lot of physical things that are going on in their body that causes them to be even more confused. But I believe that strong parents who can teach their children the right way go a long way in helping teenagers not go through that time of confusion. They will to some extent. but they don't have to be confused about what they should do and where they should go. I think that's part of the struggle that teenagers have, and adults do too, actually. I don't think it stops with teenagers. I think adults go through the same type of feelings of not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do. If you see a child panicked, oftentimes it's because they just don't know what they're supposed to do. They may be being yelled at. They just don't know what to do. That's a scary feeling. I know it is for all of us. I think the Lord would like for us to turn to Him, listen to His voice, and follow Him as our shepherd, as we are His sheep. Now turn over to John chapter 15. There are several used here, but I'm going to concentrate on the last one here, but we're not going to ignore the others. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We're going to stop there. We're going to continue in this chapter because he changes to another phrase here. But the one I want to concentrate on here in this one is the disciple part. A disciple is a follower, a learner, someone who follows someone else's instruction. I was reading his flyer, and he is a disciple of Bruce Lee, the Bruce Lee philosophy of martial arts. Now, obviously, Bruce Lee is no longer living, but Shane does study after Bruce Lee. He is a disciple of Bruce Lee, so to speak. He is one who studies and learns the things about that. We need to be Jesus' disciples. You're not just made a disciple. This is something you choose to be. You choose to be a disciple. You choose to follow Him, learning of Him. And He says here, bearing much fruit. Now, you can't bear fruit outside of Jesus. It's impossible. He says here, without me, you can do nothing. We need to be His disciples. We need to be branches that bear much fruit. Notice what He said here about the branches. What happens to those that bear no fruit? They're cast off. He taketh them away. This does not deal with salvation. Remember, discipleship is something you choose to do. You choose to be a disciple of Christ. That's by following Him after salvation, following His teachings. Salvation is about a change of who you are. Discipleship is about following who He is. So He says here, there's two things that happen to branches. The branches that bear no fruit, He taketh them away. Much like when you are dealing with growing things in the garden or something, you take away the dead limbs off of the plants so that the live limbs can do better, can bear more fruit. But you also do something else. With those that are actually bearing fruit, you don't leave them alone. You don't leave them the way they are. You actually trim those as well. You purge those, as He says here, so that they'll bear more fruit. You get those things out of the way that are in the way of bearing fruit. That's what the Lord does in our lives. So we need to be careful. We're not the non-fruit-bearing limbs, branches. That's not where you want to be. It's not where I want to be. But understand that the things we go through in this life oftentimes are purging of the branches that are bearing fruit. Brother Rick asked me several times how I'm doing, because he knows that there's a little bit of stress involved with the things that I have going on at this time. But you understand that's how we grow. I mentioned that to him tonight. That's how we grow. Branches. You don't leave them be. You purge them a little bit. You clean them up. You trim them up so that they can grow better and more fruit. That's what the Lord does in our life. Sometimes these things, and think about that. Sometimes these things that we go through in our life, they're just the Lord purging us so we can do better for Him. Sometimes, not what we necessarily wanted, but I know one thing. He knows what we need. He knows what we need. And He's always there. Here's the great part. He's always there to help us through it as that shepherd. He'll help us through those times as well. So sometimes there's some purging that happens. But it's always better to be attached to the vine, because that's where life is. Be His disciples if we bear fruit. Going on in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I commanded you, whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The next term he uses here is one that I'm afraid we don't often consider when we're thinking about the Lord. We consider we're His children. We've heard the sheep. My sheep know my voice. And the vine and the branches and disciples. But you notice what Jesus said here to those disciples there? He said, ye are my friends if you do what I've commanded you. If you keep my commandments. I ask you today, do you want to be Jesus' friend? You know, there's a difference between a friend and a brother or a sister. I'm thankful that my brothers and sisters are also my friends. But I know a lot that it's not that way. That's not the case. We're kin by blood, but we're not friends. When I was growing up, my dad was not my friend when I was growing up. He was my dad. That's what he had to be. Because I wouldn't have made it without it. I needed him to be my dad. But you know what? Once I got grown, so to speak, now I consider him my friend first, my dad second. See, a friend is something very special. A friend is something very special. My dad has always spoken about the value of having a true friend. I want to tell you, there's someone who wants to be your friend tonight, and that's Jesus. And you know how you can be His friend? By keeping His commandments. By doing what He commands, what He's told us to do. Why do we come here? Why do we come here twice on Sunday when most places, most groups get together once a week? Why do we get together three times a week? Because that's what the Lord, through this body, has established for meeting times. And here's the deal. If I want to be his friend, I will do what he wants me to do. This church has established the meeting times, and he says when this church meets, we should be here. I come here, I hope, to be a friend to Jesus. I want to be his friend. I know you want to as well, but we have to keep his commandments. He said you can be my friends. You are my friends if you keep what I've commanded you. That's why it's important for us to, it's important for us to maintain the truth here as a church. Make sure we teach and preach the truth, because that is what Jesus gave us to do. He gave us to do that. He gave us that to do. He said, go ye therefore into all the world, teaching, preaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These things are not questions that he said. He didn't say, if you'd like to do that, it's okay with me. He said, I want you to do that. Go and do it. That's his commandments. That's why we do what we do here. He's commanded these things. I want to be his friend. If there's anybody else, if I'm not a friend to anyone else in this world, I want to be Jesus' friend. It's how important it should be to us. There's two things. You can be a friend or a foe. Jesus said there's no in-between. You can't serve God and mammon. You've got to choose one or the other. So either you're going to be his friend or you're going to be his foe. Now, I'm not. Again, don't get me wrong. This is not about salvation. This is about what you do as a disciple of his. Are you going to be a helper or a herder? That's the question we have to ask. Do we want to be Jesus' friend or his enemy? I think it's easy for us to say we want to be his friend. It's a little bit more difficult to actually do it. And I understand that. It's difficult for me too. But I encourage you tonight, make a decision. Jesus asked us to make a decision to be his friend. And then, stick to your decision. Just do what you've decided. You know, if you once you've made up your mind about something, you've actually, if you decide something and it is no longer a question mark with you, there's no way it's going to change. It's a lot easier to live out on that decision once you've made the decision to do it. So first, decide to be his friend and disciple. And a good branch, a fruitful branch. And then do it. That's what Jesus wants for your life and mine. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now we're going to wrap it all up with what he called, what he describes here, what the Lord describes through the through the Apostle Paul about us. He wants us to be his children. And you say, wait a minute. I am his child because I've accepted him as my Savior. Absolutely. Nothing will change that. That relationship will not change, but you can be a good child or a bad child. If you're a bad child, don't expect blessings from the Father. I'll tell you what I expected when I was bad growing up. It wasn't blessings. I wasn't expecting from my dad gratitude and hugs and good jobs and money when I was a bad child. And I shouldn't have expected that. because then I was headed towards chastening by God, by him, by my dad, excuse me. Jesus works a lot the same way. If we're a good child, he'll bless us. If we're a bad child, he'll spank us. That's not politically correct today, but that's the truth. That's the best way I can put it. It's not a timeout thing. It's not a take away your Walkman or whatever. That's old, isn't it? That's like 80s. I'm dating myself here. Yeah, he won't take away your iPod. See, I didn't. My dad didn't do that. My dad didn't mess around with that stuff. My dad didn't say you can't watch TV. And actually, well, he didn't do that, but he did make sure I understood I messed up. See, that's the key, making sure that our children understand they messed up and make sure it's not something they want to do again. When our Father in heaven treats us as his children out of love, when we messed up, he wants to make sure we don't want to do that again. My dad did that to me when the last time I got a spanking from him. It was about lying. And I realized how serious lying was at that point. I didn't quite comprehend it before that, but I understood it after that. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Notice that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I realize that was a long reading. Here we see that we are his children, and thereby we are heirs of God. An heir is one who receives an inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ as his children. But then he goes on, and he talks about how that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, or we are the children of God. And he'll lead us as his children. But there's something here too. For him to lead us, we have to follow him. He can draw us, and he can try to lead us, but it's always our choice on whether we follow him or not. And again, this comes back to the choices that we make. We are his children, but I believe that we have a choice to whether to follow him or not. And then he goes on here. And verse 28 is very interesting to me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Notice this promise is given to those who are called according to his purpose. Anybody know, or actually I'll just tell you, the definition of a church is a called out assembly. When Jesus called out his apostles, that was the beginning of his church. He called them out. I believe that the church is the one, the members of the churches are the ones that this is specifically talking about, that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. We've come here and we joined this church not for our purpose, not for our reasoning, not for our good or our agenda. We come here, this church's responsibility is for the purposes of God. His purpose, not mine, not yours. People have come and come and gone from this meeting place, and they've been here visiting with us. Some have expressed an interest in joining, and then we have not seen them in a while. Some have expressed an interest and then did not want to submit to baptism. Does it hurt my feelings? Yes. Do I feel sorry for them? Yes. Does it change what I'm here for? No. Does not change what this church's responsibility is. This church is here for the purposes of God and no other. Yes, the truth, the preaching, the teaching will hurt feelings. It will make people feel, it'll run some people off. I shouldn't expect it not to, because that's what it did with Jesus' ministry. Has anybody ever looked at John chapter 6? I know I've spent quite a bit of time in John today. John chapter 6. It's very interesting because there was a point in Jesus' public ministry when he had multitudes surrounding him. They flocked to see him. They wanted to just hear him, or they wanted to be fed with bread and fishes. They wanted to see the next miracle. They wanted to hear him because he was such an impressive teacher and preacher. Yet there was a turning point in his public ministry. He started talking about, unless you taste of my flesh, unless you receive me in to yourselves, you cannot have part in the kingdom of God. Unless you accept me, believe on me, receive me into yourself, guess what? Everybody said, that's a hard saying. I'm not interested anymore. They left. Jesus turned to his disciples. He said, "Will you also leave?" To his apostles, Peter said, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." See, I can't expect the message to be popular. It wasn't when Jesus gave it. Why would it be today? And I'm not here to water it down either and make it appeasing to people, make it pleasing to their ear, to tell them what they want to hear. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to preach the gospel, the words of Jesus. Because you see, unless you know his words, you cannot accept his word. You cannot be his sheep that know his voice, his disciple that follows him, his friend that loves him and accepts him. And you cannot be a good child unless you know what Jesus says. Because he says, if you keep my commandments, ye are my friends. If you keep my commandments, ye are my disciples. He loves beyond any love we've ever understood or we ever will, short of glory, eternity. He loves so much that he doesn't want to leave us where we are. He's never satisfied with where we are. Why should we be? Heard a thing this morning about a church that they said, well, such and such a church, they're satisfied. There's two sides to being satisfied. One is contentment. That is understanding God has a plan and accepting his plan, accepting what he blesses us with. And then there's another type of satisfy that I think they were talking more about, and that's a complacency. That's the feeling of, I've made it, I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to worry about those things of the church anymore. I'm not going to worry about Jesus anymore. I'm not going to worry about any of that stuff. I've made it. This is it. This is as far as I need to go. Ask yourself. There's a question that's out there that's been out there for several years now, and it's kind of lost some of its... It was real popular for a while, and then it went out of popularity, and now it's probably not even used hardly at all. What would Jesus do? I have a question that you need to ask yourself. Would Jesus be satisfied with what I've done? Is Jesus satisfied with what I've done? If not, learn more about his word. Learn more about what he wants us to do. Learn more about his purpose in our life. Learn more about what he has in store for us, those, his children, and his disciples, and his friends. He loves you, and he loved me so much, he doesn't want to leave me where I am today. He wants me to grow and get better. That's what chastening does. That's what the purging of the branches does. It is my heart allowing him to do his work in my life. I would invite you to ask yourself that question. Are you allowing him to do what he would have you or that he would like to do in your life? Are you his friend tonight? Please stand.